you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Now this morning we're going to be looking at the subject of understanding the mark of the beast and then the optics to know that it has already arrived. Begin our message this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Amos chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opening of your word today. And we just ask you, Father, to anoint our hearts and our ears, Lord, to hear what your word says, not what our own thinking says. And Father, may we just truly lay ourselves at your feet this morning, knowing that all things have been made ready. And the bride is ready, Lord, and the world is ready for the destruction. The bride is ready to be raptured. And so, Lord, help us to just fall into place as Brother Bradford fall in line or stay in line. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you know, he says, can't two walk together unless they be agreed? And that's a very good question. So, why do you think God asked that question? Well, let's read on and we'll see how he asks a few more questions before he actually gives us his answer. Will the lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? That's another good question. He wants us to think about what he's asking here. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Now look, he's using questions to make you think. All right? Too many people go through life letting others do their thinking for them. This question deals with the lion's motive for roaring. And if there's no reason to roar, then why would the lion roar? And it continues in this manner, verse 5. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin for him? In other words, there's no bait. Now, what would the bird's motive be to go into a snare without anything in there to snare or attract him into it? Again, we're dealing with motives and objectives. So he's building his case here. As a kid, we used to take a box and put a stick under it. And we'd attach the string to the stick. And then if a bird came under the box, we'd pull the string and we'd catch the bud. Many times we sat, in fact, the very first time we did it, we just sat all day long wondering, well, why isn't a bird coming under our thing? And then the light bulb went on and ding, ding, ding. And, oh, we got to have something to bring him in there. You got to have some bread. So we ran in the house, grabbed a piece of bread, tore it up, and then we got a bird. So this is the thing. It's to get you to think. He's asking these questions to get you to think. In the same manner, you can put your fish hook in the water, and at the end of the day, you can sit there all day long till the cows come home, and you won't catch a fish unless you have bait on the fishing hook. All right. Now, each question God is asking here are like little drops of bread leading us to the light bulb moment. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? In other words, if you don't catch anything, is it because there was nothing to attract the attention and thus the snare could be all set up but with no bait? Well, then it's useless. The nest could be set up, or the snare could be set up, but unless you are just waiting for somehow the birds to migrate into the right position, you're going to wait in vain. Well, then the Lord begins to ask some more definitive questions. He says, shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Well, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you're walking down the street and all of a sudden the air raid siren goes off or the tornado warning goes off? What's the first thing that goes in your mind? You just think, oh, there it goes again. No, you say, what day of the week is it? Is this the first Tuesday of the month? Because I know the first Tuesday of the month is just practice. This isn't the first Tuesday. What do? Where can I get to shelter? I got to find out if there's a tornado coming or if the Russians are coming or whatever. It's a warning. It gets you to think. What is the trumpet for? It gets you to think. What is the gospel message for? It's to get you to think. What is the shout coming down? It's to get you to think. Too many people go like drones through life. They follow it. They say, get the shot. Well, we get the shot. Why? Question it. Question everything. If it's not thus saith the Lord, you've got a right to question it. All right? Then he asks, shall there be calamity in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? So all of these questions were given to us to get us to think. And then he drops the answer to all of them. He says, surely the Lord God will do nothing until he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He's telling us that he never sends a prophet in vain. If there is a prophet on the scene, then you must listen because it's a warning. It's a trumpet. And we can see the signs of the day and the signs of the sky, but until we have a prophet to tell us what they mean, we could look at them all day long and still be clueless, and the world is clueless. So until the Lord sends you a prophet, you really don't know what you're looking at, and therefore everything we see today, that's going on today, could just be one big delusion or one big distraction from the real thing that God wants you to see and understand. And therefore, everything going on right now would just be a big question mark in your mind. Now remember, he began with all these questions by speaking of a lion, and then he says in verse 8, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath, God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So God lets us know that as naturally as it is to fear, when you hear the roar of a lion, so too to understand the intentions of the Lord, you must hear from a prophet who will prophesy when the Lord has spoken it. Therefore God tells us, or tells you, how that he'll warn you. And it is not a trumpet. It's a gospel trumpet. But it's not the roar of a lion. But God will use a prophet to declare to us what God wants for us to know and be aware of. And then when we have heard the prophecy of the prophet, we will be warned and we will understand what the warning is all about. Now, from a sermon trying to do God a service without being his will, Brother Bram said, I'm afraid in a lot of things today, when a great teacher, one of the Pentecostals' greatest, stood before the religious group the other night in Chicago, I was supposed to have that meeting with the businessmen, but I thought I'd be in Africa that time, but just got back the day before it started, and they chose a great Pentecostal intellectual, and he got up and he told them that this ecumenical move was a thing of God, and said that all of them is coming back, even the Catholic Church is going to come back to its original condition, all speaking in tongues for the evidence and so forth, and not knowing that's a trap of the devil. And a man that I didn't know, sometimes you plant seeds, you know, and you don't know what's going to happen. But the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen, as soon as the great speaker sat down and said, he said, I'm prone not to say things against our speakers. But that ain't the way that Brother Branham said it would happen. But he said that would lead to the mark of the beast, he said. But Brother Branham doesn't know. And that guy said, well, Brother Branham doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, well, we believe he does. And so this morning we're going to look at just what the mark of the beast is and how it will move from a thought that is contrary to God's word into a full-fledged manifestation of that thought. Now remember, organization, it takes two to organize. All right? So you have a wrong thought, then when it organizes, it takes two, now it becomes incarnate. That wrong thought becomes incarnate. That's just like, that's what the mark of the beast is, okay? Because we know there's coming a time that the whole world will receive the mark in their forehead, which is in their mind, and in their right hand, which is in their actions. So there must be some catalyst to take place to bring this mark of the beast into full-fledged manifestation. And there must be an optics to let us know. You see? So we're looking at the actual doctrine of the mark of the beast and then the optics to let us know. Just like there had to be a woman in purple to let us know the Catholic Church finally has full control. Right? We saw the sixth vision, the woman in purple. She has no power, yet the Catholic Church does. The Catholic Church took down the elections. All right? So there are two marks spoken of in the Bible, the mark of God, which is the seal of God, and the mark of the beast, which is the sealing off the ear from ever hearing and believing the truth again. Now, from his sermon, the mark of the beast, now, Brother Ram said, now, the mark of the beast, the seal of God. Now, how many was here last night? Let's see. We've been in the class, about everybody, I suppose. All right, now. Now, therefore, to get a little background where we're going tonight with it, and I had to take both of the subjects and put them together because they run parallel one to the other. One is a mark, the other is called a mark. Mark of God, the mark of the devil. Okay? One is a seal of God, you're sealed in by the devil, sealed out by the devil. Right? Notice that mark is also called a token. Okay? Now, that's important for us to know. I think that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible supports that. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. There's two classes of people. And on the side of salvation and rejecting, beginning in Genesis, like everything else. And so in Genesis chapter 4, we see that Cain rejected the right way to do sacrifice, which God had shown him. He got angry and he left the presence of God, and God set a mark upon him, which is the mark of the beast, which is the mark of apostasy, which we know is organization. All right, now watch. And this apostasy was just like the apostasy of his father, the beast, in the garden, that got Eve to believe his lie, and his lie was one word off of what God had said, just one word off. So let's do a little bit of a Bible digging this morning, and we're going to see how Cain ended up with this mark of the beast. Now in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? You know, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, Brother Bill brought this out to us. He said, the Septuagint says, puts it this way, thou did rightly offer, but thou didst not rightly divide. In other words, your offering of the fruits of the harvest was a scriptural offering, but since it was a harvest offering, or a resurrection time offering, it was out of season. First, there had to be an atonement, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And there has to be a way back into the presence of God before you can have a resurrection. Now, if there was no atonement made, what good would your being in his presence do you? And so Cain's sacrifice was out of season. Because remember, if you're in the presence of the judge and you're guilty, being in his presence doesn't do you any good, does it? It does you bad. Okay. So he offered a resurrection sacrifice first, and then it was rejected. And after it was rejected, notice he names his firstborn son Enoch. If you go and see the genealogy of Cain, his firstborn is called Enoch. Well, don't tell me that Cain didn't know that there'd be a resurrection, there'd be a rapture. He gave a resurrection first, and then he gave a rapture, naming his son Enoch second. All right? But he was just not in season. Just like all these so-called Christians in the world. They're so-called because they have a form of godliness. They have a form, but they don't have the power of God, and they don't have the presence of God, and they don't have the understanding of the day in which they live. All right? And that means they don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, but God rejected the sacrifice and accepted Abel's sacrifice and said, because it was a righteous sacrifice, which means it was rightly wise. Then we see after the rejection in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel. It wasn't Abel coming up to Cain and talking. It was Cain talked with Abel. All right? Cain was angry. His countenance had fallen. And that's his attitude and the way he carried himself. And so in that anger, he went to talk to his brother. And so right after that, we read about his fall. You know, his fallen attitude and his visage, you know, that's his personal presence. And the way he comported himself, we also read that Cain talked to his brother Abel. And it was not Abel that struck up the conversation with Cain, but Cain came to him in his anger. All right? And he came to interrogate Abel why God had accepted his sacrifice and did not accept his own. And I'm sure that Abel told him about the fall and the sheepskins and the crossing of the blood between his father and Eve. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So we see no doubt that Cain was even more angry now after his discussion with Abel. And he decided to cancel culture his brother. I'm just going to cancel him out. There's your first incident of cancel culture right there. And as always, cancel culture is a reaction to an angry disposition. Always. Remember, Brother Brown said, they draw you out of the circle, draw them back in. That's the right answer. Cancel culture is draw them out. Now, the Lord knows all things, but many times, knowing all these things, he'll ask you questions to see what response you have. And that's what he did with Cain. The Lord likes to test us for our reactions from Be Certain of God. He said, you know, he loves to test us. He loves to see the reaction of your faith. Did you know that? God likes to see how that you'll react. When you say, oh Lord, I believe you, thou art my Savior, I believe that you are the healer, I believe that you are the one who gives the Holy Spirit and the things that I'm requiring, you are the God who gives that. And then when you confess all your sins and promise God that what you'll do, if he'll just get you well, and then because it don't happen, you run off like a coward somewhere, God can't use that. You know, you make a mistake or you do something, it doesn't work out the way you want, you get mad. God's testing you for reaction. There's no way for him to use you. There's no way for him to answer you, to bless you, because he answers only by faith. Then all of a sudden you go away and he can't answer. But real true faith stands there, being sure that God is, be certain that he is, and if God asks this thing to be done, to confess your sins and so forth, and you've done it, faith says that he is, it's certain that it's going to happen, your request has to be granted. Oh, I hope you don't miss that. If you're sure of God, God's sure of his word, he's only waiting to test you. So, brother, sister, we are in the time of the test. Do you think God's going to give you a glorified body with the snappy attitude you got now? I don't think so. It's time that you die. And I'm talking about dying to yourself, totally to yourself. No matter what happens with anybody or anything around you, it's praise God, peace with God. You don't know anything else. You're tuned in to God. You're sealed in with God. All right? From his sermon, Elijah and the meal offering, Brother Branham says, God tested Job like that. When Job asked for mercy, offered a sacrifice for his children, the only thing that the prophet had was a burnt offering, but that was all God required. God doesn't require our education, a lot of nonsense. He requires a surrendered heart to his will. He doesn't ask you to dress in a certain way or go to certain things or out to certain colleges or degrees. He asks for a humble, contrite, broken spirit and a willing heart to receive him. He tried Job and see what kind of reaction that he would find it. In other words, when something happens and it just really bothers you, do you go to God? Or do you take it out on somebody else? But when he took his sheep and took his ox and took his camels and took his children, I'll see what Job says now. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He found what he had told Satan he had in Job. None like him on the earth. Can you say that for yourself? From Elijah in the meal offering. She'd lived clean, she'd lived decent, she'd lived honorable, and she had met all of God's expectations, but looked like he was silent. Listen, I know there's people in here. God, why isn't God doing this for me? Why isn't he hearing my prayer? God does something to test you to see what kind of a reaction that you'll have. Don't forget it. If you pass over the platform and you're prayed for and hands laid on you, and it seems like nothing happens, that doesn't stop faith one bit. You have met God's requirement. Now, if you have met them, now, if you're holding back on God and you know that your heart condemns you, and we know if our heart condemns us not, then we have, but if our hearts condemn us, there's no need of coming across the platform. There's no need of asking God for anything because you don't have faith to receive it. But when you have met every requirement that God requires, then faith steps out there and said, God is God. I've met the requirements. From Be Certain of God, he said, one morning there was some Hebrew children was going to be burnt up, and they knew that they had done God's will. And they said, we're not afraid of the king's commandment. Our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. Nevertheless, we'll not bow to his image. Now, God was going to give them a test to see what reaction to their action would be. And he let them walk right straight into that fiery furnace before he even moved. But when all of God's requirements have been met, and you're certain of God, that God will do it, stand still and then let God do it. Because God will do it. From Genesis 4:9, and the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? Now you know God is omniscient, he knows all things. So why would God ask his brother the question, where is he? Now think about the way that God works. Always teaching, always instructing. And then let me ask you parents a question. When you know Junior did something wrong, do you ask him first if he did it? Or do you just discipline him first and then ask him questions later? You want to build integrity in your children, so you ask them before you discipline them. I always told my children, if you lie to me, you will be punished far more severe than if you just tell the truth. That is building integrity, and integrity has its rewards. He said, I know not. Notice that Cain not only lied to God, but then he also gives God a very disrespectful answer. He says, am I my brother's keeper? Who do you think I am? I'm my brother's keeper? That's very disrespectful. Not only to a parent, but to God. And God said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto thee from the ground. God was not only angry with his action, but now with his disrespectful attitude as well. And so God placed a curse upon him. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be, in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. In other words, I'm sorry. You did the sin and you did the praying. Behold, thou hast driven me out of the day, out this day from thy face, from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, in a sermon, God keeps his word. Brother Bram said, what a disgrace. Now, they have to have things like that. That has to happen to cope with the spirit of the day. That's the reason that that this church is coming in with the worship of Mary and other women and things. He's talking about the Catholic Church. It's that same spirit under a religious head. And that's the reason they have got to get your mind off the unadulterated Word of God to produce that program. Sure. Do you see the twist that we're in? Do you see the American youth? What condition it's in? That's men and women of today. No wonder Jesus said, except these days be shortened, no flesh could be saved. Therefore, I'm basing my thoughts here that we're at the end time. The Lord Jesus shall come soon, but the spirit of the day, can you see it? Take on your thinking. Can you see what's happened? Before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scriptures by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution, the boycott to come. Can't you see America has fell for the glamour and the godlessness, the goddess in this? It's paid the devil in the realm of the flesh, making a way for this to present itself. Amen. I hope you understand. Stay clear from it. I don't care how many D's and PhDs or ever what's behind it. It's a lie. For let every word, every man's word be a lie and mine be true, saith the Lord. For heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now, notice, he says, after the hold is gotten. So, what does that mean? After the hold is gotten. Is Brother Graham kind of just using strange language? Now, according to the dictionary, it means to remain or continue in a specified state. So after the people come to this place where they're kind of encapsulated, they're in a hold, they're in a lockdown. After the lockdown, okay, to remaining in a specified state, that would then be these lockdowns that we have seen worldwide. These stay-at-home orders, this is a hold down that we're going through, or have just gone through. And notice his words, before this great onslaught coming on, to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten. So what comes first? The hold is gotten. Then the onslaught. Then the forcing. See? Just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. What's going to cause the persecution? It's the forcing of things that they wouldn't normally accept. What's that? Your vaccination. Forced vaccinations. You understand? He's very definitive here. Now, we're going to look at this a little bit. Now, he said, after the hold is gotten, and the word gotten means to come to a specified place, to arrive at, to reach, to succeed, to become enabled or be permitted. So after it's been gotten, after it's been permitted, after the hold is taking place. So we see that after the stay-at-home orders and the lockdown, after that, then what? He said the next thing is this great onslaught coming up. And what will cause that onslaught? Notice, before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. What's the boycott? Cancel culture. Okay. So we see that he is telling us that after the stay-at-home orders come, which is already taking place in every country on earth, he says after that there comes the forcing. So we are asking the question, the forcing of what? What does the forcing produce? Does that forcing have to do with the onslaught that is coming, which he says comes after the hold is gotten? Now, what he's talking about here, this is a strange language back in the 1960s, but not so strange now that we see had our eyes opened because of the Word, and we see the fulfillment of the Word taking place in the saints. He's speaking of the time when the great holding or lockdowns come, which will be universal thing upon all nations, and what is after the hold has gotten mean? Well, the cattleman knows that a holding pen is a place where the steer is held and cannot move out about freely. His freedom has been taken from him temporarily until they can inject him with whatever shot it needs. Now, so he's in a holding pen, a place of confinement, until those in control decide to get him out. What is the purpose of a holding pen? It's two things: injection and marking with a brand. You see it? He was a cowboy. He used cowboy terms, the holding gun. The holding pen. People are going to be held against their will. For what reasons? Two things. To inject them. That's the only reason why they put the cows in the holding pen, is to reject them, is to inject them, and brand them, and then send them off to slaughter, the onslaught. Oh, I love this language in the prophet, just the way that God raised him up, took him out west to become a cowboy and all these things. So, you know, it's the world looks at these things, oh, he's crazy, you know, he's using words that don't even make any sense. It makes a lot of sense to me, you see. So he's in a holding pen, a place of confinement, until those in control decide to let him out. And usually that freedom only comes after he has been injected or branded. And he's never really free because he has been tagged. Notice he says, things that we would never accept, but which has been in practice in all the other countries. So, what are these things that we have never accepted, but other countries have already accepted? The answer is dictatorship, tyranny, no freedom to assemble, no freedom of speech, no freedom to own firearms. It's all coming down to the end, brother, sister, and it's coming here. Before this great onslaught coming on, to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scriptures by the forcing the people, after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept, to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. So let's reword this some, not adding to or taking away, but breaking down what he said, because Brother Brown said the fivefold, break it down, and checking out what he means by certain key words that he drops here. And that will give us a better understanding of what he's saying. Number one, before the great onslaught coming on, which will bring the mark of the beast and fulfill the scripture. So, what is an onslaught? An onslaught is defined as a fierce or destructive attack brought on by the force of many or overwhelming numbers. Like Jesus speaks of the devil coming on like a flood, like what we've seen where the so-called pandemic has overwhelming numbers of people who have come down with it and overwhelming numbers of mortalities, even though those overwhelming numbers may be a delusion and in fact just made up and not real, and yet the government officials are using those overwhelming statistics, robbing from Peter to pay Paul, robbing from the fruit desk to call it COVID, robbing from the heart attack desk to call it COVID, robbing from the pneumonia desk to call it COVID. It's an onslaught. It's overwhelming. But let's never forget how Abraham defeated the five kings when he used trickery and had the men spread out, and they had torches tied to ropes in between. They might have a man 20 feet away and they have two or three torches on a rope, and they tie them on their belt and they keep them suspended off the ground. They keep their distance. And as they were coming down, they had men also spread out with trumpets, many of them. And so they would sound the trumpet. Now listen, Abraham and his people, 130 some of them or whatever it was, and his servants and all this, they took on five kings and five nations, and they won. How did they do it? Because it was five kings and five nations. When they saw that they were surrounded, from coming down from the hills, all these lights, all it looked like there would be a torch in every man's hand, thousands of them. So he multiplied his men, or the appearance of his men, many-fold by trickery, and using men spread out with trumpets to sound like legions were coming down upon them, and they got so afraid, so scared, that in the dark, They started killing off each other. And by the time Abraham got down there, it was all done. All he had to do was pick up Lot and his family and go home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So, Brother Adam speaks of this onslaught that's coming. He says, this onslaught will produce a forcing of something. There will be a forcing of the people. Notice the coronavirus is proclaimed. Everybody's got it. It's around the world. Now we've got to do something. We've got to force the people. We've got to force them to distance themselves. We've got to force them to muzzle themselves so they can't speak out against it. What's the next thing? Well, we're going to force them to have a vaccine. Because if they don't have a vaccine, they can't get on the airplane. If they don't have the vaccine, they can't go to public places. They can't go to concerts. They can't go. Look, there hasn't been any concerts. They closed everything down. That's holding pen. Okay? So when does this forcing of the people take place? And what will they be forcing on the people? These are questions everyone that believes this message should be asking themselves. And when will this take place? He tells us when this forcing will take place. He says, after the hold is gotten. Well, the hold has already taken place. So we must ask ourselves what he means by the hold is gotten. The word gotten means to come to some specified place to arrive at, to become enabled, permitted. So once the hold has been permitted to take place, then the forcing will take place. Once the hold has been activated, then while the people have nowhere to turn, then the forcing will begin. He's letting us know how things will come down. So once we see one part, we should be anticipating the next move to take place. That is how we stay on the top of the word as it comes to pass. And the word hold, what does it mean? Now remember, Brother Bram, having been a cowboy, as I mentioned before, he talked about holding, you know, he talked about holding that. So the hold, the word hold that he's using, he's referring to just people are locked up. I can take the old Isaiah and it says, all the houses be boarded up. All right? The cattle are already owned by the cowboy, but he places his brand on them to give an outward sign or a mark that the cattle belong to him. And that's exactly what the elites of the Catholic Church are in the process of doing. They have locked down the world and are now in the process of applying the mark, their sign of ownership. Now you say, just a minute, I thought the mark of the beast was a mind that's contrary to the Word of God. That's right, it is. Oh, then what is this? This is the optics. This is the optics to let you know it's happening. It's happening. Just like it is in other countries, forcing them into things that they do not accept. Could that be a worldwide vaccination? Could that be a vaccination card, a green card, like the Jews in Nazi Germany would wear a yellow Star of David? You know, I think it's interesting, but the people getting marked this time aren't the ones rejecting it. The people are getting the Jews had to wear. The people wearing their badge, I proudly got my vaccination. They're the ones marked. They're the ones you need to stay away from. Because they are now a carrier. And if you understood, and we're going to get into a little bit, if you understood how these vaccinations, these aren't even vaccinations, these are medical procedures. Just like Nazi Germany worked on medical procedures. I remember talking to a man, his wife, they were Jews. They had lived in Germany. And he ran a shop here in Cincinnati. And he said during those days, he said, they took my wife's arms, they took her muscles, and detached them at the elbow, detached them at the shoulder, and reversed them, just to see how it would work. They experiment on people like they're a bunch of monkeys and guinea pigs, because they're Jews. All right? So, and this will cause the persecution. That's what he said. Why? Because many will resist, the Bible tells us, and they will be hunted down and forced to take this mark upon them. The Bible says that they will be compelled to do so, or they won't be able to buy or sell. Now, I'm afraid that everyone who claims to be a Christian in this world is looking way down the road for the branding to begin and the mark of the beast to be assigned. They're looking for them to actually put something on you. Pa-ching, pa-ching. You know, now you walk around with a barcode that says, I've received the mark of the beast. No. That's not how it comes. They've already got it. The world already has the mark of the beast, but now the optics are out there for us to know it. Because immediately after that happens, the rapture. We're living very, very close to the going home, brother, sister. I'm afraid that everyone who claims to be a Christian in this world is looking down the road for the branding and the mark of the beast to be assigned to everyone on the earth, small and great, rich and poor. as we read in the book of Revelations. Look at all the rich and all the elites, you know, all the, you know, all the poor getting pictures of getting their inoculation. What did it say? Greater, small, rich or poor, all will take the mark. Revelation 13:16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, those in jail cells and those that are free, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that has a mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. And here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Don't forget that. Now notice he causes all, he compels all. That word causes means compels. He compels the world, whether they're rich or poor, free or bond, small or great, to receive the mark. Notice it is not a free will thing that they are doing. They are compelled to do it, which means that they are forced into it. How? Because if they don't do it, they will not be able to buy or sell, save he that has the mark. Now, Satan thought, well, I'm going to bring them into Laodicea, and that'll cause the word in them to die right there. And I'll choke off the word, which is the cares of this world. And Jesus told us in Matthew 13, but there's going to be some that actually had something in it, and they brought forth fruit. So then Satan says, well, you know what? Plan B. Let's go to plan B. And he compels all, rich and poor, elite or peasant, free or in prison, to receive this mark. And then John tells us, here's the clue. For he which has wisdom, this number is 666. Now, we have never at any time on earth in the history of the world have we ever had such a medical tyranny that everyone on the planet is being compelled to take a vaccine, an injection in the arm, and if you refuse to take it, you will not be permitted to fly in an airplane, ride on a train, or a ship, or use any mass transit system of transportation, nor will you be able to vote, nor hold down a job, nor even buy food and any other essentials to live. And I would say this is a compelling, brother. And that is exactly what Scripture tells us the mark of the beast will be used for. Now, Brother Branham said in the sermon, Mark of the Beast, he said, now, this great subject that we're approaching has certainly caused some great controversy and some pros and cons on the subject. And I, for myself, believe that it is such a great, vital part of the Scripture that all the Scripture should be taught. All of it. We should not leave any of it out. God has spoke through the Scriptures about the mark of the beast and how that it was to appear in the last days. Notice, how it was to appear. Well, it's already here, but it hasn't appeared yet. Then there has to be something in optics to let you know it is here. And as a minister of the gospel, believing that we're living in the last days, I believe that it is a timely message that should be approached reverently in this day. Now, there have been many thoughts projected to the people concerning this vital God-sent message, warning to the church. It's been many things that have been thought and given to the people what this mark of the beast was. And, of course, like all other Scripture, it causes cults to rise. But surely, if there is such a thing fixing to befall the people of the earth, there should be some gospel-sensible answer to that question. So I believe what he's telling us here is that we will find our answer in the Word of God. And we have known for years that the mark of the beast is the turning down of God's word, but we never thought much on how that could cause you to be canceled out of society so that you cannot buy or sell. You all thought, well, we'll just stay away from other churches and that will help us to get by. But it has nothing to do with the churches, plural, but it has all to do with a one world system orchestrated by the Vatican. Again, from his sermon, Mark of the Beast, Brother Branham said, now today, announced the subject that I was to teach on, the Mark of the Beast, which is a very vital subject, and it would maybe try and approach it today from a standpoint, why that subject would probably take, and I could stay on it, 3 or 4 months every day and still be on that scripture on that great subject. But I thought today, being that we were going to pray for the sick people after this morning's Sunday school lesson, many of the people gather here for healing and they around in the hotels, et cetera. And we certainly wouldn't want to take their space of time. So I'll start on the subject and then continue on for a few days when I get back again, maybe between two meetings. So then again, after that, I'll try to continue on, the Lord willing, on the mark of the beast and teaching the mark of the beast. You have to have the seal of God to run with it. because they run side by side. In other words, they're twins. Mark of the beast, the mark of God. The sealed in by the mark of the beast, the sealing in by the token. All right? They're twins. So you can't teach one without the other. All right? Now, that is a key right there. He said they run side by side. And so we see that the mark of the beast is the seal of Satan. It is being sealed into his system, into Satan's Eden. Whereas the mark of God is being sealed in by the Holy Ghost, in which Brother Branham called it, receiving the token. And the problem is that the token must be displayed. So must the mark of the beast. That's optics we're talking about. By their fruits you shall know them. And if the token of God must be displayed, then Satan will require his token, his mark, to be displayed as well. Because as Brother Branham said, they run side by side. There are message preachers that have already taken this mark, and they don't even know it. Now, I always believed it had to do with organization, because Brother Branham taught us, the minute you organize, that's the minute you die right there. And I've seen many churches in the message organize to the place that if you're not part of their organization, they have no part with you. You are canceled out, my brother. And that is what organization is meant to do. Dominate and control by a cancel culture. So this cancel culture we're seeing, and Brother Branham said it would come. All right? You know, and he said, you know, the persecution and the canceling out. That, all right? We see this coming. It's always been here. It's always been a tactic used by Satan. Cain canceled out his brother's life. All right? Now, Brother Branham said in leadership, we find him, a businessman sitting here, telling me right here in California that the church has to tell the labor unions what to do. See? It's coming, church and state again. It's right on you. You see, you're right in there, and you take the mark of the beast not even knowing it. And just like he taught us that the rapture will take place in a way that it could actually pass right through you and you won't even be aware, and the literal mark is being injected into the people, and they are not even aware what they are receiving. Just like the woman in the vision wearing the purple dress, well, he said he believed the woman might be a president or vice president. And so we see a woman in purple as a vice president, you see. But then he said, but it'll be the control of the Catholic Church. It'll be the Catholic Church. So there had to be a woman in the office of at least vice president wearing the purple dress to bring the optics to the minds of the people to let us know the sixth vision is now fulfilled. And the seventh vision is the total destruction of America, and we will never see it. The bride won't. Then can we ask the question, although we know the actual mark of the beast is to turn down the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and to receive the Word of man in its place, yet could there be an actual mark so that the optics presented to the people is very clear? I think so. So then, although the people have already made their decision to make man's word over God's word, take man's word over God's word, and they have already received the mark of the beast, yet God uses optics to let us know the word is now complete and fulfilled. Just like Daniel 8:23-25, he told us that a certain ruler would raise up who would have a strange way with knowing and understanding enigmas, you know, riddles and things. And this ruler would come on the scene as a spoiler to spoil the plans of the wealthy and the elites. And through his policies, he would make craft to prosper. And then sometime while he's in power, and he seems all-powerful, and a shoo-in to be elected again for a second term. But then he comes up and he stands up against the Prince of Princes, and which is the Pope. And then suddenly he's broken without hand and taken out of power. Now, this all had to take place to give the optics to watch for knowing that after the mighty ruler would be suddenly powerless and the covenant between the Prince of Princes, the Pope, and the Jews would be made. God had to give us an optics to see it's all here. It's in process. Because that covenant is done in secret. It's not a worldwide declaration. It's done in secret. Now, how could a bride get herself ready for what comes next without having some optics to be able to see because God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass? And we sat back and we watched this unfold right before our eyes. I remember in January 2020, a full 10 months before the election, I said, I don't believe Donald Trump will have another term. I said, it looks to me like he will be... he will go up against the Pope and something will happen that he will be broken out of hand. I said, I don't understand exactly what that means. But I said, I don't think, I've broken out of hand. I said, I think he's finished. All right? God's Word told us that. And we did not find out until about a month after the election in January that the Vatican actually used their spy satellites to change the vote, thus fulfilling Daniel 8:23-25. And setting the stage for Daniel 9 through 12 and the pact between the Vatican and the Wall Street Jews. Wall Street Jews. All right. Now, without a vindicated prophet telling us what craft was and a few other things, and that the Prince of Princes, that's a Pope, and those kind of things, we wouldn't have had a clue. All right. But taking what he said and taking it to Scripture and seeing it coming to pass, you said, ah, this is what the prophet warned us about. All right? From his sermon, question and answers, image of the beast. He said, and I thought if I'll teach on the first night what the church of the day and the age geographically in the Bible, where we're positionally setting when the church surely will wake up on that and then speak on the mark of the beast and then let them see what it is and then the seal of God, that's the pro and the con now, that's the dark and the light, that's either in or out now, and that's the most essential thing to be taught to you now. There we are. Why are we doing it? That's what he said. Okay. So being that this teaching is the most essential thing that we must teach in this hour right now, I will not be holding anything back. Now, it all comes down to this. To receive the mark of God, which is the seal of the Holy Ghost, you must not only hear the word of God, but you must recognize it and then show God that you have received it and have recognized it. You then will act upon the word of God. That's the outward manifestation of the inward revelation. All right? That is the optics that God is looking for. There has to be fruit proving that the word has been believed. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. Well, if that is how we receive the seal of God, then won't the seal of Satan, the mark of the Satan, the mark of the beast be just the opposite of that? In other words, it would be the same thing, but in the other terms. And by their fruits you shall know them also. We showed you in Genesis how God received the mark of the beast by rejecting Cain had received the mark of the beast by rejecting God's word concerning the sacrifice which he would receive. And by rejecting the blood of the innocent lamb, Cain not only rejected his own way to have fellowship with God, but he turned down God's word for a correction as well. That is why last week I taught you that it is not enough to just claim that you believe the word of God, but God has given you the Holy Spirit in order for you to understand it. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. And if you do not understand the things of God, how are you going to be aware of what will be the catalyst to manifest the mark of the beast in all men who are not ordained to God before the foundation of the world to receive the Holy Ghost inoculation? How are you going to know it? Brother Brown said in a sermon, modern events made clear by prophecy, and he says, you can be ever so sincere, but until we know what we're doing, you're fighting at the air. Come back into the Word of God and get lined up and then go. Then you know. Like a soldier, don't know what to do until he gets an order to do it. We must be Christian soldiers and get orders from the Bible for this hour now. Not the charge yesterday, the charge the day before, but the charge today, which way that we go. Find out the hour that we're living in. And these modern events is slipping by us too swiftly. And one day we're going to find out we'll be left behind without nothing and be caught sealed into the mark of the beast before we even know it. How are they going to seal you in? I'm going to show you how they're going to seal you in. So if you're living in la-la land concerning the things of God and the age that we're living in, my brother and sister, you're headed for the mark of the beast and it will come to you and you won't even be aware of it. And just like the majority of the world and even of many who claim to believe Malachi 4 are not aware that the appearing comes before the Lord comes, and even more are not aware of the 84 signs and events that constitute or make up the parousia of Christ, which during his parousia, the Lord himself comes down with a shout, a message, a voice, a resurrection, and a trump of God, which is the catching away. Now, from his rapture message, Brother Brown said, the rapture, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of the resurrection share, when the chosen ones shall gather to their homes beyond the sky, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now, let's all try to be there, friends. God bless you. It's been spoken. It has to come to pass. And it will come to pass. And little people, no one wants to die. No one wants to be lost. Let me tell you, whatever you do, I don't care how well you go to church and how loyal you are to the church, that's fine. Nothing against you. You should go to the church. You do that. Keep on going to the church. But whatever it is, throw away your traditions and move right on up into Christ, because it's going to sound one of these days, and you're going to be caught with the mark of the beast on you and not know until it is on. And you will not know what it is until it is too late. That's exactly right. Now, who's he talking to? Message believers. People that listen to his tapes. He's talking to the message believer, and he says, whatever it is, throw away your traditions and move right up on into Christ. Because it's going to sound one of these days, and you're going to be caught with the mark of the beast on you and not know what it is until it's too late. And he said, if you are not aware, you will receive the mark of the beast and not realize what you have done until it's too late. Now, I've always believed that organization is the mark of the beast, because that's what Brother Branham always taught. And from his sermon, Trying to Do God a Service Without It Being His Will, he said, now, and when I speak of denominations, I'm not meaning to scare you or to be cruel. I mean, I'm not meaning for you to be so cruel. No, I don't mean for you not to go to church. Go to your church, whatever, what you're supposed to do. But just don't join up with them organizations, because one day I'll be telling you, and prove it by Scripture, it is the mark of the beast, and you just remember it's the mark. All right? Now, power of transformation. There's always twins, and that's the reason. Don't forget this, little flock. The church in the last days is going to be twins, so close that it deceives the very elect. Matthew 24:24. See, the church is going, it's a Pentecostal move. It's so much like the real thing, till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And a little later on, if I get the chance, I want to explain what and how that election comes. See, it's going to deceive them, because it's almost like the same thing. See, just two fathers, that's all. Same mother, same church, same movement, same thing. The betting ground is the same where the word falls, but one of them, like here, is perverted. You understand? Say amen. If you did see, congregation says amen. See, one of them is perversion because it's the wrong father, which I will prove someday, if God will let me, that denomination is the mark of the beast. See, it's the wrong father. It's steering people to an organization instead of the Word of God. See, it's the wrong father. It's a Cain move. Well, if the two spirits would be so close that only the elect will know the difference, won't the two marks be so close as well? One will have a mark and the other will have a token. But both the mark and the token will seal in the person in whom it is placed on. Now, Brother Branham said, in 99% of his talking about the mark of the beast, he lets us know that people already have it, but there is not yet an optics to let us see it. However, he says in the other 1% of the quotes that there is coming a day when that mark, which will have to become a visible thing and materialize in its fullness, and the optics will have to be there for us to see the fulfillment of that word, because immediately after that, the rapture. From his sermon, God of the Seal Age, Brother Branham said, to wear the brand of a denomination is the mark of the beast. We've been through it on here to do it. Flee it, children, flee it. And he said in the sermon, Turn on the Light, he said, one of these days, something's going to happen, one of these days, see. But he already said, it's already in them. But one of these days, something is going to happen, it's going to be too late. The people will, future tense, take on the mark of the beast, not even knowing what they're doing. Blind lead the blind, they'll all fall in the ditch. Isn't that what they're doing with this COVID stuff? Blind leading the blind? People riding down the road in their own car with a mask on? You talk about end time insanity. Who would purposely decrease their oxygen intake, which causes brain rot? When they're all alone, people going for walks with a mask on. It's insanity. The mask doesn't even stop anything. Go on a cold day, blow out through the mask. You'll see the air come out. What is it? It's what is it? Vapor. What is vapor? Well, vapor can carry bacteria, can carry viruses. It don't protect you from nothing. It's all a farce to bring in the mark of the beast. The people will, future tense, take on the mark of the beast, not even knowing what they're doing. Blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch, she said. And we're living later than we think. Many honest people follow that, not even knowing what they're doing. But the hour is at hand now when the light is shining and the gospel light in its power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ manifesting himself, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He allotted that for this day. The things that he promised for this day must happen in this day. If the church won't accept it, God's able of these stones to rise children unto Abraham, get his message over, because he's always done it. He always will do it. And from his sermon, just one more time, he said, brothers and sisters, I don't know in my Bible of any other thing that God has promised to do before the rapture of the church. You're thinking of the mark of the beast coming? I've told you, they've got it. See, the next thing left is for the rapture of the church. It could come at any time and not disrupt any scripture in the Bible, as far as I know. God knows that's true. See, yes, sir, the time is at hand. It's later than we think. And he said, I told you, they've got it. See, the next thing left is the rapture of the church. But the optics that were not there yet for the whole world to know, the optics were not there yet for the whole world to know at that time. Now remember, Paul said, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So how is it the church, the foolish version, going to know these things unless they got the Holy Ghost? And the Scripture says they won't get it because they don't have the Holy Ghost. So how are they going to know? So how will they know to reject the mark of the beast if they don't even know what the mark of the beast is? There will have to be something that is an optics for them to see in order to reject the beast system. Remember, the bride receives the token, but all others receive the mark. All of them, everyone, whose name was not written in the book of life, they get it. And we know the token is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. So the real mark is a spiritual thing as well. But how will they know to accept it or to reject it if it's a spiritual thing? So there has got to be an optics there. There must be an optics, there must be a natural that types the spiritual. Now from his sermon, see, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of denominational people out there saying, oh, this COVID stuff is the mark of the beast. Well, you know what? You already got the mark of the beast. They're already saying, let's unite, everybody together and fight the communists, take over. And yet the people all got the mark of the beast. And they're not looking for the second coming of the Lord. They're looking for the second coming of Trump. It's not going to happen. All these false prophets have raised up and said, thus saith the Lord, there'll be two presidents and this and that. No, there's not. I don't care. There's not. It's not happening. Trump had to back down, or either his family be eliminated or they would have dropped a nuke or something. Now, if he was a fighting man, he would have said, look, I'll die. I'll die for the cause. You're not going to do it. And if I die, I'm going to take out every one of you guys now that I've been threatened. I'm going to take you all out. One by one. Secretly, there'll be a secret coming. That's right. And they'll take you down to Gitmo and they'll do whatever. But he didn't do it. All right? And even if he does come back, so what? He had homosexuals in his administration. They'll never make America great again unless they get Christ as the head of America. That won't happen to the millennium. And it won't be America, it'll be the world. Now, from his sermon, what shall I do with Jesus? He said, now, he will not deceive those whose names are written on what is it? It's got to be a system. Oh, a system. I want you to hold that in your mind, because we're going to get to that just a bit. And just think, to belong to that denomination in that system, what do you do then? Where have you done? You're sealed away, see, from the word to a murderous system that takes away of having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It's the mark of the beast. Now, the word form that he uses here when he says having a form of godliness, the word form is a Greek word, morphosis, and it means an ability to change one's form. So they can be Christ-like in church and hellcats when no one's watching them. And they fail to recognize that the judge is here standing at the door knocking to the door of their heart, and they won't let him in. Like the Pharisee who has white on the outside, but inside is full of dead men's bones. Having a form of God-likeness, but denying the power of the Holy Ghost to change their life. Saying no to the Holy Spirit, I'll do what I want to do, and so they set themselves up to perish. Now notice they have a form of godliness, God-likeness, and they think that form that they have is the actual life of Christ, and it's not. So they look at the optics, what they can see, and by that, they deceive themselves into thinking that they have the genuine Holy Spirit. And the same way that they deceive themselves out of the Holy Ghost is the same way that there will be an optics that they refuse, thinking they're refusing the mark of the beast. And remember, all the world will take this mark, or they'll not be able to buy or sell. Now, you don't think these globalists know this? And that they purposely are calling it certain things, like you know, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Don't you think that they know this? Look, these globalists are transhumans, humanists, and most of them are Luciferians. So they think that they can make this mark. They can't make the mark. It's already been done. But they're going to make something that's an optics for the mark. There had to be a purple dress in order to understand that the Vatican is in charge. Right? All right. So from this sermon, token. And what I'm hoping to do with these sermons is to help you to be open your eyes to the optics. The Word of God, you know, has to be fulfilled. And Brother Branham said, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. So when you see the interpretation, you know you got the right interpretation. Because you've seen it come to pass, right? Now, from his sermon token, Brother Branham said, or the token, as we see the great end time signs on earth today, we know that that's right. Now, look, I've waited for this a long time, for this message to you, you see, and you've seen the end time signs. You see, there are your optics again. See, he says, you see, which are your optics again. And I preached it to you and showed it to you by everything that Christ said. Is that right? You'll admit that. And at the end time, I don't see nothing left. You say, well, what about the mark of the beast? Those who reject the Holy Spirit is already marked by the beast. The punishment will come later. There's your optics. The punishment will come later. The physical mark will show up later. All right? Now, the beast system must have a way to know those who are marked and those who are not marked. Those who have the green card and those who don't have the green card. That is how they can punish those who refuse to take the mark. Now, from his sermon, Influence, he said, the vision affected the prophet. Oh, the effects the vision had on him, it caused this prophet. Now, listen. Notice the vision was the optics. He saw it with his own eyes, or at least the eyes of spiritual understanding. But nevertheless, the vision is a form of optics that the prophet sees with his eyes. And then when the hat is on the chair, he knows the vision is complete, and thus, saith the Lord, is fulfilled. So there has to be optics. Oh, I'm loving this, brother and sister. This is so tremendous, what we're seeing here. Oh, I hope that you can see what he's saying here. There has to be an optics to show completion of the vision. He saw the vision on the hat, of the hat on the chair, so there had to be a hat on the chair. When the optics were there, the vision was complete. Now, you remember he had been looking at a man, but when he saw something real, he watched a man's holy life. He watched him fail. He seen him take leprosy and die. And you're looking at the same thing in your denominations. You see where every one of them are going. Now, there's great ecumenical move. If the church isn't in this ecumenical move in a time of an emergency, aren't we in a time of an emergency now? Wasn't it declared by the president? That in the time of emergency, that church cannot be used as a church. And no minister can minister to anybody. He'll be put to death by doing so. If he ministers any blessing to the people outside, he's with the ecumenical move. That's exactly in the writings today by the Lutheran. I forget his name. See? That's right. Your church cannot be worshipped in. It'll be made a storehouse. See? The mark of the beast already coming in effect, and we're looking at it. Looking at what? The effect. The effect of the mark of the beast. So what we're seeing going on is the effect. It's the optics. Oh, it ought to put the church in action. Certainly it ought to. Watch these effects of the vision now. What did it do to the prophet? It caused him, after watching the optics, watching the man, and see it fail, he saw God angry with the man and withdraw from him and smote him with leprosy. Now, Trump proclaimed that we're in a time of emergency, and emergency executive orders went out. And so immediately we, as elect, should have seen this and examined what the prophet's visions showed concerning the closing of the churches. And we should watch for the optics of that happening and begin to look for the evidence of the churches being closed. Now, the first one to close was the Branham Tabernacle. But it didn't close because of the COVID. It closed because of too many people. And the fire marshal said, you can't be here anymore. So they had to move the church to the big gymnasium. But what happened? Within a year, all the churches closed. Most of the churches closed. We didn't. But most of them did. Willingly. The early church, what did they do? They met from house to house. They could have done that. But they didn't. They chose to close. All right? That's the effects of organization. You see? And so immediately, we as elect should have seen this and examined what the prophet's vision showed concerning the closing of the churches, and we should watch for the optics of that happening and begin to look for the evidences of the church being closed. And we've already seen this take place not only in this country but all over the world, and yet people are so clueless when all the clues to the day and the hour have been so strikingly close to the optics that the vision showed. And when were all the churches closed? During the time of the emergency pandemic. It's exactly what Brother Bram said. Emergency. All right? Now, is your life worthy of the gospel? Brother Bram said. Now, somebody said, now, there's going to be a mark of the beast that's going to come someday. And let me tell you, it's already come. See? As soon as the Holy Ghost begin to fall, the mark of the beast begin to take place. See? You only have two things. One of them is accept it, take the seal of God. To reject it, take the mark of the beast. To reject the seal of God is to take the mark of the beast. Everybody understand? To reject the seal of God is to take the mark of the beast. For the Bible said, all that was not sealed by the Holy Ghost took the mark of the beast. When the trumpet sounded and all wanted to go free could go, then that didn't was marked.
Well, I got my vaccination button.
How dumb. Yeah, you know, forgive me for saying that, but it's how dumb, how stupid. How ununderstanding of the Word of God for the day in which we live. Now, you see, the mark of the beast, if we talk about it in the future, is when it's going to be made manifest, Brother Bram says. I'm still reading from his words. Let me just go back. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to what Brother Bram tells us next. Listen carefully, because he talks about the importance of having optics for the vision to be completed. Now, you see, the mark of the beast, if we talk about it in the future, is when it's going to be made manifest. It's already there, but it hasn't been made manifest yet. In the future, it's going to be made manifest. Did you catch that? When it becomes manifest, that is your optics there. When you realize it's what you've already done, how will they know what they already did? The optics will make it very clear. See? And so is the Holy Spirit. It's to be manifest. There's going to be optics for the resurrection as well. When we see the Lord Jesus coming in glory and feel that transforming power and see the dead raising out of the grave and know that in a second longer we'll be changed and have a body like His, it'll be made manifest. Then to see those who rejected it will be left down and up. So we're looking at the manifestation of the mark of the beast is actually in the future, he said here. And this morning I want to show you how I believe it is coming into manifestation even as we speak. From a sermon, Standing in the Gap, Brother Branham says, and when all of the hopes that way is gone in our economy, okay, so the economy is gone, of our Christian fellowship amongst the organization, it's heading up into Catholicism, which will be the mark of the beast in the confederation of churches. But it's those who love God and are looking for a reality. The very God who made the promise in the Bible spreads it before our face and makes the church and the people and the science and magazines and everything recognize that He's still God and can fill the promise. What a time. Notice the very God spreads it before our face and makes clear by the optics it is that reality is upon us. The Word of God is being fulfilled. We see it. Remember, in earlier on, I read this when I was back in January of 2020 when I was talking about what was coming on. And I said, Brother Branham said, we can see. He said, they can read this Bible just like we can. Okay, but he said, but we can see the fulfillment of it. We see the optics, okay? They don't. Also, in his sermon, Jezebel Religion, preached over here in Middletown, he said, then one of these days, after sin has taken its toll, and God has brought His people to their knees, Jezebel took everything and she wiped it all up, and she'll do it again. That's thus saith God's Holy Bible. She'll do it again. She's right on the throne now, behind the figurehead, twisting it any way that she wants to, and nobody's going to stop her. Nobody. You know, I hear these guys like X-22 and them. I'm sorry, but they're wrong. But nobody's going to stop this. Nobody. Oh, yeah? Don't. And I wrote to him. I said, look, don't say that. I said, they said that about, no one's going to stop the Titanic. Nobody can sink it. God did. And when you say nobody, I said, you better be exclusive and say, except for God. Oh, they're so sure of the plan. It's God's plan that we got to follow, not some man's plan. Certainly nobody's going to stop her now. Because what they couldn't get in the religious circles, they cut it all into politics, and there they died. And they're all looking for this great revival, and Trump is going to lead the way. Right. Give me a break. So where do they do it? He said in politics. Though the Catholic Church is a religious organization, she will bring her power into politics, and then the optics will become very clear. He says they couldn't get it in the religious circles. So they cut it all into politics. Right wing, left wing. Conservative, liberal. It's a war between, in politics, it should be a war between God and Satan. But they brought it into politics. Uh-huh, that's exactly what they've done. Which the political will be a boycott. So what's a boycott? Cancel culture. Just exactly back to the mark of the beast, as sure as I'm standing here. See, and the Bible said it. There you go, there's your optics. When the cancel culture is there, the mark is on. The effects of the mark. The effects of their godless turning down the word. See, so what is a boycott? It's nothing but cancel culture. And the world is full of cancel culture today, which is nothing short of boycotts. We hear people say, well, Trump will come back, he will do it. No, friends, he will not. Thus saith the Lord. According to God's vindicated prophet of the hour, he will not. No one can stop. They are looking for Trump to save the nation, and to do that, they have to reject Christ as their Savior. Notice how they've taken the religious realm and moved it into the political, and the Trump movement was very religious, and many fell for it because it appealed to their religious conservatism, just like the prophet warned us that they would do. But Trump will never save this nation. He can't. He's not a savior. He's a businessman. And they turned down the only thing that could have saved this nation back in 1956. They turned down the revealed word of God. And it's over. The Holy Spirit showed us back 15 months ago in January 2020 that according to Daniel 8:23-25, that President Trump, after he made manufacturing to increase through his policies, like the scripture said he would do, and he seemed to be undefeatable in spoiling the plans of the elite, but that he would come up against the Pope and something would happen, and he would be broken without hand. Did the Holy Spirit not tell us this almost a year before it happened? It's all on tape. And at that time I said, all I can see by the scripture is that Trump will somehow stand up against the Pope and then he'll be broken. I don't know the incident that will take place, but that is what the Word of God says. And it did, and did it not happen exactly the way God's Word said it would happen? Did not the Vatican come along and use their satellites to intercept the electronic votes and then change them, sealing the election from Trump? And thus he was broken without hand, as the Scripture said he would. Didn't matter how many court cases they sent off, none of them even got seen. None of the evidence was even given out. I didn't know that is how that they would do it. But I just said what the Holy Spirit had me to say, that something would happen that would take him down, and they did it just like the Scripture said they would do. And now, who else was preaching this from the Scripture? I'd like to ask that. Tell me. When all the false prophets were proclaiming that he would have a second term and he would make America great again, that was a lie from the devil. Now, I have one last quote, and then we're going to move on. From his sermon, Mark of the Beast, Brother Branham said, now, the mark of the beast, the seal of God. Now, how many was here last night? Let's see. Was Ben in the class? Well, about everybody, I suppose. All right. Now, therefore, to get a little background where we're going tonight with it. Now, I had to take both of the subjects and put them together because they run parallel one to the other. And announce that what I thought that they were in the beginning, and now using the scripture to prove that I think that this is right. I think that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible supports that. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. There's only two classes of people, and on the side of salvation and rejecting, beginning in Genesis, like everything else. Okay. All right. So with that, I want to show you what is behind this vaccination program that is going on, where all men are being compelled, forced to take it. or they won't be able to buy or sell, just like those who do not take the mark of the beast, because he said it runs in parallel. All right. Now, if you recall some time ago, in fact, it was February 19th of 2020, way before they started any focus on vaccination program, I was still preaching on the end time plagues and showed you how their plan was to alter your DNA by using mRNA to do it. And in that sermon, I quoted Brother Branham saying that God, from God hiding in simplicity, said man is always giving God praise for what he did do and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing now, see? And then I said, now, getting back to our text from the Unveiling of God 121, Brother Branham said, it's just the word to them. To us, it's the manifestation, see? It is no more a word, it's a reality. And I believe, brother, sister, for these past few years, we've been living in a reality of the word. We're seeing it coming to me. And we were focusing on then what was actually coming to pass before, even before the world was even aware what was happening. Not based on what we knew as official facts, but what we knew as pertaining to the word of God for this hour. What God's word and his prophet warned us was coming. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, teach again. Because I hadn't preached on it since 1997. He said, teach it again. Go back, and this is the time for it. You know, and teach it. And so I did. And 2 weeks after I preached on this, all of a sudden, boom, here it comes. And during that sermon, I preached on what Trump would do and how, you know, all these things would happen. And that's exactly, brother and sister, what's happening. And that was my introduction to the plagues. I think it's interesting that God just put it all together. See? All right. Not based on what we knew as official facts, but what we knew pertaining to the Word of God, what God's Word and His prophet warned us was coming. In that sermon, we showed how that the judgments of Deuteronomy 28 are divided up into three types. I said, today we shall look extensively at how God deals with the people who turn Him down in each age. We have already seen that the judgments of Deuteronomy 28 are split into three different types, physical, spiritual, and financial. And concerning the physical judgments, I said, now, how does the wrath of God come upon them? Does God send down lightning bolts and kill innocent people? Does God send down, or does God send down pestilence and earthquakes because they're innocent? No, God has never destroyed man. Man always destroys himself. Man brings on his own judgment. As Brother Branham said, he must be in the spirit of destruction for destruction to come. Then I read a quote from Brother Branham's sermon, Preparation, where he said, I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction that this world will ever know. I believe that we're at the end. You can speak to people. You can put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States. They drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes and laugh at you and everything else just the same. They are in the spirit of the last days. And God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. God never did destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. There you are. And then I went on to explain mRNA and how that the M stands for messenger, which I think is interesting because we have a true messenger and then we got a false messenger, which is this messenger mRNA. And that the mRNA attaches itself to your DNA and then it begins to rewrite your DNA code. How many remember several years ago I preached on the DNA of God and his DNA are his thoughts? All right. Well, that is what Brother Branham says from the unveiling of God. He said this was a part of his way. This is the way that he manifests himself to us. Manifests the eternal word, God, Jehovah, made flesh. Like in St. John 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. In the beginning was Elohim, Elohim became the word, and the word was Elohim, and the word is made Elohim. See, it's the same thing, just unfolding, like the attribute. See, it is God. An attribute is your thought. All right, keep that in your mind. In the beginning, the eternal. He wasn't even God, then he was the eternal. He wasn't even that. He was Elohim, the eternal. But in him was thoughts. He wanted to become material, and what did he do? Then he spoke a word, and the word was materialized. That's the whole scripture for Genesis to Revelation. Well, if the word says that there are going to be a people who take the mark, and invisibly they've taken it already, there's got to be a manifestation of that. That's what he's saying. Now, Paul speaking here, knowing, and in this sense, the Spirit word, we are ministers, not of the letter, the law, but able ministers of the Spirit, that the Spirit takes the letter and makes it manifest. That was just law. You had to go look at it, say, now thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not do this or that or the other. See, you had to look at that. But this is spirit that comes upon the promised word for this age and brings forth and manifests, not to two tables of stone, but the presence of the living God. Not the physical thought somebody made up, or some Houdini trick, but the very promise of God revealed and made manifest right before us. What sort of a veil will that be behind? And do those? And what about the people who say that they are veiled in the presence of God and preach some church tradition? Oh, mercy, goodness. Which adds to and takes away from everything else. Like injecting, I like that word, inject. Like injecting their own subjects and their own thoughts and not the Word of God. See, what kind of a veil? That's got an ecclesiastical veil. God tore that veil apart. Now, listen, he uses that word injecting. I want you to understand that when the people are injected with this corona vaccine, you're going to understand they're actually injecting a thought into the people. I'm going to show you where it is. Now, notice in several paragraphs in the unveiling of God, Brother Branham deals with attributes which he calls the genes of God, which you know to be the DNA, and he says that that is his thoughts. And he shows us how we must die to our thoughts if we are able to be one of God, to become one of God's thoughts. Now, from things that are to be, he says, we have become more mortal beings from time beings to eternity, to eternal beings, when the Word of God lit our soul and we become sons and daughters of God with the attributes. Now, look at this, and I'm just catching this right now. When the Word of God lit our soul. You know, when they, and you're going to see this in a little bit, just keep that in your mind, the word lit, okay? Because that's what the vaccine is doing. People don't know it. That's what it's doing. It's lighting up. I'm going to show you how that happens. But notice, so you got the true token, it lights up our soul. You got the mark of the beast, it lights up their flesh. Now watch, all right? The gene of God in us to be sons and daughters, okay. So God lit our souls and we become sons and daughters of God with the attributes, the genes of God in us to be sons and daughters of God, of the Father in heaven, crying, Abba Father, my God, in my Father's house. Now, from modern events, how about Moderna? You know the word Moderna? It's a vaccine company. It means modern. Modern events made clear by prophecy. Moderna made clear by prophecy, we'll call it that. The man who's seen the vision or heard his voice never altogether understood it. In many cases, he didn't know because he's just an instrument of God. It's God's thoughts expressed through a man's lips. A thought, of course, is a word expressed. God does his own choosing by his predestinated choosing. He done it in every age. He set forth the men for each age. Like with Moses, when he was to fulfill what he told Abraham, Moses was born a proper child. He couldn't help being the way he was. He was born that way. Because he was born for that purpose. And so we find out that God does that in every age. God does his own choosing by his own predestinated choosing, chooses his prophets and things for the age, fixes his nature, fixes the man's nature, the man's style of preaching to honor the gift. And all that he does is to meet the challenge of that day. God creates that man and he sent him. And in his own mind, as I preached on last night, we are a germ of the gene of God. He knows that a man would be there at that age before there ever was a molecule or light or anything else in that age or in the earth. And from things that are to be, and may that little germ of life, that gene of God that we just talked of, that attribute that come down from God and has been manifested here to honor and to glorify God. Now, from modern events made clear by prophecy again, Moderna. If there's any in here tonight, Lord, that's holding in their heart that grain, that gene of God that's ordained to life from the foundation of the world, I know, Lord, that they're bound to hear at this hour. Calls it a grain, all right? Keep your thinking caps on, all right? And I know that we've been going a little bit, but listen, I've got a little bit more to go, but you're going to be so well on your way to understanding, and you're going to be so well on your way to getting ready. Because the next thing is the rapture. All right. Now we know that God taught us in Genesis 1:11 that every seed must bring forth after its kind. That is the law of life. That's the genetics of seed life. And every seed has in it a code written by God to specifically deal with the kind of life that he puts in each seed. In its genetic code, God wrote a genetic code that produces the same life in each offspring. And I want you to understand that because when you do, you will understand the seal of God and the mark of the beast and the nature and attributes that are ascribed in each one. Okay? Now, we're talking about genetic code. All right? Attributes, characteristics, thoughts. John 8:44. Jesus, in speaking to the religious Pharisees, said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You will do it because the code is there. Right? The genetic code is there. So we see the genetics at work. As the Son of God could only do what the Father showed him to do. How? It was shown by vision. God used optics to show his Son. But as Brother Brown said, his nature and everything about him was made to receive the instruction from God. The instruction code, which was the optics, the vision. God made him to be able to see it, and he followed it to a T. Now, what I want you to see, what I want to show you, is something I spoke to you almost a year ago concerning the vaccines that Jeffrey Epstein's company, Moderna, wanted to produce and was actually in the making of it since around 2014, 2015. They've been planning this way back. I showed you back then that technology they were using was called luciferous. Actually, it's called Lucifer race. If you just look at the word, that's exactly how it's spelled. The posh scientists, they call it luciferous. Luciferous. They don't want to say Lucifer race. You know, it's like the joke it was a joke I told years ago. Is this French or is this Spanish? You know, in person looking at it, you know. I'll just tell it. You know, I know I should be telling jokes, but just so you understand the concept. All right, so there's a woman, she was very arrogant and things, and so a person went up to her and said, I'm thinking of a word, it's called R-A-T-H-O-L-E. Is it Rath-O-L-E or is it Rath-O-L-E or Rath-O-L-E? And the person, well, I think that it's Rath-O-L-E. And the person said to her, no, where we're from, it's called Rat-Hole. You can call it luciferous all you want, but it's Lucifer race. Okay? And there is no question about what it is, since that patent number that they use is WO, standing for World Order, 2020, that's the year, and 06. That is a patent for the mRNA. Now, don't doubt me on this, because this is not conspiracy theory stuff. These are the facts, and you can do your own homework and look it up. And there are many reports and newspaper articles that speak of this, and I've listed them and all the links at the end of the sermon. About 3 pages of them. The WO letters, World Order, the next 4 digits, 2020, means a year. 060606 to 666 to make clear that this is their agenda and to use it as the mark of the beast. Now, that is their intent because these globalists are transhumanists and they know the Bible, and so they mock the Christian by using this, not realizing that the optics only tell the elect it is now that time. And it is the last thing before the resurrection comes forth. But what we have not yet looked at is their agenda, and the agenda is to corrupt the DNA of man and create men in the image of their father Lucifer. And in order to do that, they have to dehumanize men and make them transhumans, which is what they now have been working on for many decades. Now, here is the information on their system. All right? The patent, again, is WO2020-060606, and it's called Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data. Now, I copied this from the internet, so this is not my own wording. This is the abstract. It says, human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of cryptocurrency system. A server may provide a task to a device of a user, which is communicatively coupled to the server. A sensor communicatively coupled to or comprised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. Body activity data may be generated based on the sensed body activity of the user. The cryptocurrency system communicatively coupled to the device of the user may verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system and awards cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified. So it's not putting a little chip in you and then you can put your arm up to some device and it'll give you so much cryptocurrency. It's what you do. Remember, in the mind, in the hands. Notice then, without this technology embedded in our body, you will not be able to buy or sell. Another feature of this Lucifer race technology is that it reacts with enzymes in your body to produce luciferin mixed with oxygen and causes an energetic process that produces light. Not my words. This is a scientist's words. It produces light. Now remember when Brother Branham said when the Word of God comes in, the thoughts of God comes in, and it lights up your soul? And they're producing through this luciferase process, luciferin, and causes an energetic process that produces light. Now, Josh and Nate, you're a computer guy. You know that all communications is done with light. On, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. It's like electrical, on, off. Right? And that's in your body. I imagine that that is a signal that tells the cryptocurrency system that you have done what it wanted you to do so you can now receive your reward. Now, Lucifer means the light bearer. And Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians 4 that he appears as an angel of light. Other links I posted below for those who wish to learn more about this satanic push to complete Satan's Eve. He's trying to create a race. Just like he used the beast to inject the human woman with a hybrid life, producing a hybrid life. So this mRNA is to produce a hybrid life, transhuman. What is it? Beast. Now, that brings us to the two main stars in this race. To use Lucifer race technology, which is Moderna, modern, A, and AstraZeneca. The first word astra was taken from the Latin word astrologia, which is the study of astrology, or the heavenly lights. Therefore, a study of the stars, and therefore astro, or aster, means to the stars, or the constellation of stars, or heavenly body of lights. And never forget, the stars represent what? The sons of God. Then they jumped over to the Greek for the second name and used the name Sima, which in the Japanese language is called Zen, which has quite an eye-opening definition. The word Zen from Japanese and from Zen and from Chinese is Cham, and ultimately from the Sanskrit is Jhana, but it means a thought. Now listen, aren't the attributes of God a thought? So this AstraZeneca is star thoughts or light thoughts. Light thoughts. And what does the light do? It's created from the Lucifer race, creates luciferin. It creates an enzyme, which coupled with oxygen causes light action. Listen. So the word Zen means thought or meditation. In other words, thought. It's sourced also from the Greek sema, meaning sign, mark, or token. There you go. What does AstraZeneca mean? They're creating a token, a sign. They're creating a mark. So Zen, for Zeneca, refers to the thought or meditation, and as an adjective is sign, mark, or token. Isn't it interesting these biblical terms are used in the naming of this coming, that specializes in the Lucifer race technology. Now, it is interesting that this vaccine is an mRNA, which is also a messenger RNA, and therefore it deals with a protein that sends a message that attaches to the DNA and rewrites the code of the DNA. And through this, they are making the person into a transhuman because they have now set up an operating system in the human brain. In fact, the following statements were taken and published in an article called Technology News. It says the transhuman ideology is so terrifying that most people just cannot grasp its enormity. Transhumans fully intend to hijack the evolutionary process of genetic structuring in order to create humanity 2.0. This means treating human DNA like computer code. So, what that tells us is that they are trying to rewrite Genesis 1:11, every seed will bring forth after its kind, because God put a genetic code in every seed. They want to alter the nature, giving it a hybrid nature. They don't realize that that is exactly what their father, the devil, did back when he used the beast to implant his beast seeds into Eve and produce the hybrid Cain. Alpha becomes Omega. Listen to what Brother Brown tells us concerning this. From the first seal, he says, then in Revelation 13, he sets the mark down. See, when he that led it, now Christianity is left on earth in its purity is because of him that led us. You remember back here in Thessalonians, setting upon the temple of God, calling himself God, forgiving sins on earth, and that'll go on, and iniquity shall abound on, and because it won't be known yet until his time to be revealed is called, and then the church will be caught away, and when it's caught away, then he changes himself from Antichrist now. Oh, my, the church, the great church, and now he becomes the beast. Him. I wish I could make people see that. Now, oh my, Satan incarnated the beast in the beginning to hybrid the human race, and he becomes the beast incarnating at the end to finish the job. He began to try to create a beast race, and now he's here to put the nail down. From the second seal, then he become an Antichrist. Now, he couldn't be Antichrist, only in spirit. But then he become an Antichrist, and that spirit took a man that taught the same thing that Antichrist spirit was doing, and then he become a false prophet to the Antichrist spirit. Now, what about a man in the organization? Suit yourself. I don't know what you think about it, but all right. Now, finally, he become a beast. Now, wait. We'll get to that after a while. All right. Now, if Satan's trinity lays like that, Satan, all the time, Satan, Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist spirit incarnate, then the false prophet, then becomes a beast. See, when not a demon that was in that Antichrist, but when Satan himself is kicked out, he comes down and takes over the place where the demon was, the devil then the devil is incarnate in a man. It's just repeating itself. So, you've got all these people who have already got the mark of the beast, right? But it's a spirit. It's in their thinking. So what does he do at the end time when Satan himself actually incarnates the Pope, making him a beast? At the same time, he's making little children, hybriding them through mRNA. That's what it is. He said he kicks out that demon and he takes the place himself. Oh my. And what does he do? He wants to make offspring just like himself, because that is what he did at the beginning. Oh my, this is so deep but so striking what God is showing us here. Satan's Eden has been exposed. From documents obtained from Moderna, revealed that the so-called vaccine being peddled by the company is actually an operating system. The startling admission confirms what vaccine skeptics have claimed, that COVID is about control, it's not about a virus. Moderna's top scientist said, we are actually hacking the software of life. Pure and simple, this is unvarnished, raw transhumanism. I didn't write these words. These are written in the articles I read. Moderna CEO said mRNA shots are rewriting the genetic code. He calls it information therapy. And says we are hacking the software of life. This should be a real alert to every Christian. Now, what I want you to notice is the word Zen, which AstraZeneca gets its name from, means thought and meditation. And the definition does not stop there. It also means a sign, a mark, or a token. And we talked earlier on what Brother Brown said when he preached on the mark of the beast. And he said, now, I had to take both of the subjects and put them together because they run parallel one to the other. The mark parallels the token, because the token brings God life into the believer, and the mark of the beast brings the beast life into the unbeliever. So using the mRNA, which is messenger RNA, to rewrite your DNA code, could that be the mark which moves the mark of the beast from just a wrong thought, a Zen of rejecting God's thoughts of God, And so from just a thought, it brings into an actual mark, brings into manifestation, which is the actuality or the reality of the implementation of the beast life, which began as an anti-God thought that Brother Bram spoke would come in the future. So this medication takes you from having thoughts even about God to having no thoughts of God at all. Remember, the scripture tells us the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. And I think it's interesting that according to the reports that Bill Gates back in 2005 gave a talk to the DOD, and I'm told some CIA officials as well, concerning a vaccination he called at that time FunVax, not fun as in having a good time, but fun standing for fundamental vax, is a vaccination against fundamentalism. He claimed back then that it would alter a person's response to the God gene in the human being. I watched this video and the man appeared to look like Bill Gates. He even used the same hand gestures as Bill Gates and even sounded like Bill Gates of 16 years ago. So I think it might be fair to agree that the author of the news bulletin said that it was in fact Bill Gates who gave his presentation. Now you can watch it for yourself and make your own conclusions. You can see the link below. This one's the first one is the State of the Nation, talks about this. The second one is, it says, you are being redirected. That is actually Bill Gates' presentation to the Department of Defense and some of the upper-level CIA. And he said, there is a thing called in the brain called VMAT2, and I'll read it here in just a minute. But so it seems to me that the point of the name AstraZeneca points to the vaccine working to alter the thought to modifying the DNA of an individual who has a heredity disposition that inclines to spiritual things. I think it's interesting that they call it the God gene, which is a vesicular monoamine transporter 2, or otherwise known as the VMAT2. What it does is it dulls that sense. It dulls the sense. So when a person hears the word of God, they don't respond. All right? Because actually that's what the mark of the beast is anyway. But it's already... See, the mark of the beast is already in the people. But this just makes the creatures. It just brings them into manifestation. And never forget, there are actually two gods spoken of in the scripture, the true God, Jehovah Elohim, who created all things, and the God of this world, which Paul called him in 2 Corinthians 4:4, which is Satan. Both have children, and therefore there is a God gene in them, as well as there is a God gene in the sons of God. And since we are guided by heredity, thus the DNA must have a genetic code that causes us to do what our fathers did before us, and science is now proving what Jesus said in John 8, in verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself, or speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. William Branham also taught us that there is a God gene as far back as 1965, that's 55 years ago, from things that are to be. He said, we have become from mortal beings, from time beings to eternal beings, when the Word of God lit our souls and we become sons and daughters of God with the attributes, the God gene, the gene of God in us as sons and daughters of God. All right. Again, from modern events, he said, it's God's thoughts expressed through man's lips. And he said, God does his own choosing by predestinated choosing. He's done it in every age. He set forth men for the age. And I've read these quotes before, so I'll just move on here. Now, so what we're looking at or seeing is a final warfare to gain control of mankind being waged at this very late hour, and man will either receive the mark of the beast, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the token or the mark of the beast. All right? Remember, it runs in parallels. God fills us with his thoughts, his doxa, which is his opinions, his values, his judgment. And Satan fills his sons with his thoughts, which are anti-Christ's word, anti-word, anti-Christ. And by using a vaccine to try and destroy the gene of God in man, or suppress the gene of God in man, so man cannot hear from God and be led of the Spirit, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And since worldlyism has not worked, as we see in the parable that Jesus told us in Matthew 18 to 23, and therefore Satan is running out of time, so he's chosen as his last resort to control the very mind itself by altering it medically. Remember, Brother Branham warned us that the greatest battle ever fought is a battle for the mind. And these mRNA vaccines for COVID are not even actual vaccines, since they use no part of the COVID virus to produce them, but rather cause your body to produce its own COVID virus, and thus you become a super spreader yourself. But they are actually just a medical manipulation of the DNA. And remember, this is the control that VMAT2. But what are they doing with children? Tens of thousands of children. Even infants are giving up. Chrissy, what do they call that thing? It's for hyperactivity and stuff like that. And they give the children this stuff, and it suppresses their mind. And it's all about controlling the mind of children. And you see these people on—I don't know the name of these drugs because I've never gotten near any of that kind of stuff. But I read about it, and it's controlling the mind. Now they're going to try to do it with everybody. Forced inoculation. And look, people go there, well, you got your first. Oh, now you got to have two. Okay, now you're going to have two. Well, then in this fall, you're going to have another one. They're already saying that. You're going to have another one. Because we know there's coming another strain, so you're going to have to get it. And people, what do they do? They're building up their bodies with these things that dull that senses to the things of God. They're actually being medically manipulated like they did in Germany. And you notice that in his presentation to the DOD and CIA, Bill Gates mentions using rhinoviruses to spread this fun vaccine. Rhinovirus. What's a rhinovirus? Common cold. COVID. That he said would render the fundamentalists dull in that area of the brain that responds to the God factor. And rhinoviruses are just common cold viruses, which are coronaviruses. And he said the rhinovirus would be the agent for dispersion, as Brother Peter Gatchel and myself figured out last February of 2020. That would be the means to spread this vaccine through a common cold-like symptom. So I believe that vaccines, they are planned to kill the God gene, is this virus and vaccine they are forcing on all the world to receive. And remember, the word Zen means thought, and it also means the mark. Now, in closing, we see the twins are at war, where God is bringing his doxa, his thoughts, into the mind, in the very minds of his seed through the quickening of the gene seed. Remember, Brother Matt said he injects his word and it brings life. What are they doing? They're bringing devil life through their injections. All right. While Satan is using this vaccine to dull the minds of the people to things of God, the greatest battle ever fought is for the mind of all humanity to think God's thoughts or not to think God's thoughts. So I leave you with this question to think about. Where are you in your relationship to God's Holy Spirit? Remember, germs are demons. But if you are inoculated with God's Holy Spirit, you cannot be vaccinated against the God gene, for you are sealed until the day of redemption, which is a change of the body. But what about your children? They have already started infant trials of this vaccine. And will you turn your children over to Satan's system or dedicate them to the doxa of God? Remember Jesus' prayer before Gethsemane. He said in John 17:20-22, Father, I have given them thy doxa. I have given them thine opinions, thy values, and judgment, that they may be one as you and I are one. God's provided a way of healing. Brother Branson, what is a cancer? What is a tumor? What is a disease? We'll deal with that for the next few minutes. What is cancer? What causes that thing? Let's take a cancer or anything you wish to. Take a tubercular or a pneumonia, whatever you wish to, any disease. Diseases are germs. Let me pass something here quickly as our times are going. Listen. Did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there'll be a germ warfare? That diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? But with the angel or who had charge over these plagues was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was. How much kind of teachers have we ought to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition, immune? My arms are sore now from where the doctors has punched needles to try to inoculate me from yellow fever and so forth. And I told them I didn't need it, but they wouldn't listen to me. But I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And when that serum goes in, it'll inoculate you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's just follow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord. It's been a long sermon, but Lord, much information has been given. I pray that people will go back to it and study it. To find out, Lord, that we're actually seeing the mark of the beast in its outward manifestation. We're actually seeing the effects of the mark of the beast, which is a cancel culture. which is a boycott, which is not being able to get on a plane, not being able to go to a school, not being able to have a concert, not being able to go into public places without having this mark. And so the mark has to have an optics. And we see the optics, people proudly display their little vaccination button and say, I've got it. Well, I'm sorry, brother. I feel sorry for you. But you've turned to a system instead of the Word of God. And so, Lord, we just commit your Word back to your people, commit it back to you, Father, and ask that you would manifest in us, Lord, the qualities of a God seed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as you see here, we've got, these are all pages full of links and more definitions, you know, from downloaded. There's actually about 5 pages there, but on the internet it's smaller font, so it'll be less pages. But I appreciate you all staying with me on this. I didn't see anybody falling asleep today, and so I'm thankful for that. But anyway, so let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.